Hi, Rick. How are you?
Good, Monica. How are you?
I am absolutely wonderful, and it is once again a pleasure talking with you today. Thank you for joining me.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure for sure.
Well, there's a lot of buzz going around social media and everywhere, and a lot of anticipation is in the air surrounding the July 8th release of your 16th release. Can you feel it? How does that feel? How do you feel?
Well, I can feel it. I can feel it, and it's wonderful. I've been getting a lot of good comments. We've been playing the new single, Get Up and Dance, which has my dear friend Dave Causes playing saxophone on that, and we've been playing it live across the country, and it's been getting a great response, and I'm so excited about the release. Like you said, July the 8th, it's coming out.
Oh, I think it's going to be wonderful, Rick, because it just the buzz and the video. I love the Get Up and Dance video. Is really nice. Really nice. So I think it's going to be good.
Oh, good. Well, I'm excited. I'm excited about it all. And, it's been a while since I've had a contemporary jazz record out. I kind of went down a different path and did some singing and with the orchestra and playing. And so it's good to be back home, and I'm glad everybody's so excited about it.
Well, I want to take you back a little bit in reflection and ask you, do you remember years ago when you asked your dear friend Peter White, our friend guitarist Peter White, when you asked him that day, how long do you think we'll be able to keep doing this? Do you remember that?
I sure do. We did a Christmas show. It was back in the early days. I was just getting acquainted with my soon-to-be manager of 20-plus years, Steve Chapman, and Peter and I were doing a concert at the Wave, and Peter was playing accordion that day, and it was very funny, but I remember asking, and or he asked me, or the conversation was, how long do you think we'll be able to be doing this? And way back then I said, well, maybe 5-10 years, and here we are 20 years later still making music, and everybody's still enjoying what we do. It's absolutely a blessing.
Definitely. I was going to say that, yes, you're from then, look at you today, you're successful, you both are, and you're most certainly very familiar with the top of the contemporary jazz charts. You are no stranger by any means to having radio hits and topping the charts, Rick. So that is that's quite a story, and definitely a blessing.
Absolutely, and grateful to all of my fans who continue to support me throughout all of these years.
Oh, well, we love what you do. So you whether it's whether it's your singing, your playing, we love Rick Braun and we love what you do. So you'll always have the support of your fans.
Thank you,
oh, look, old and new ones, because you're with this album, you're going to definitely acquire some new fans.
Well, I hope so. I mean, it's interesting, when I started to do this record, I wanted to kind of reach back into my past and use the model of Beat Street, which was pretty much recorded like a garage band record. Mm-hmm. I invited some friends over, and we just started jamming, and the record kind of evolved organically, and that's the way that I approached this record, and it sure felt good when I was making it, and I've enjoyed every step of the way, and working with some new friends and some old friends alike, and people like Jeff Lorber and Brian Culbertson, my neighbor who lives right down the street, and mm-hmm. Huge Groove is on the record, and the new friends like Elliot Yamin and
yes.
Nate Kearney, and so it was a real organic, and it just kind of evolved, and I enjoyed making it.
Well, when you when you first conceived the idea to do this album, I know your approach was to keep it as organic as you could, but did you approach the songwriting process differently than in the past, or is your process always pretty much the same?
No, it was a little bit different with this one, because I've talked about doing a record like this for a while, and again, the way I started the record out, I wrote some songs on my own, but what I did early on in the project is I invited Nate Phillips, who played bass with the Daz Band, and he tours with me constantly. And I invited Sergio Gonzalez, who played drums with Jennifer Lopez and is a dear friend of mine as well. And we we got together in the studio, and I put the microphones up and put it in record, and we just started playing. And that was the start, and that kind of set the tone of the record. And the two songs that we came up with and that stuck are Dr. Funkenstein and The Dream. Those are the two songs that came about from those first sessions.
Did you have specific objectives, like other than to keep it organic and to do it live? Did you have any other specific? Definitely, this is what I, you know, any of those things that you would say, definitely for this album, this is what I want.
Oh, I wanted it to be a great record. I wanted it to be something that would have longevity. I wanted it to be something that I could listen to years from now and go, that sounds really good. and the way that I achieved that, or that I'm hoping I achieve, because I don't really know until I look back years from now, I wanted to use great musicians, and I wanted to encourage them to put as much of themselves into the project as possible. I didn't want to hold anybody back and go the safe route. I wanted to have some adventurous, heartfelt performances from everybody, and I'm thrilled to get those results from everyone. And I was kind of hard on myself with this record when it came to picking the songs. I wanted to make sure I didn't settle for songs that weren't quite there. I wanted to make sure, and I wrote, I think, about 16 or 17 songs were in consideration for the record, and at the end of the day, you know, there's 11 songs on the record.
Well, I have to tell you, Rick, that I feel that you couldn't have titled this album any better, for sure, because with each and every song you deliver, myself included, and your listeners, you are sure to feel what the song is conveying with each and every song on the album. That's the one thing that stuck with me as I listened to it over and over. I said, what an appropriate title, because boy, does it make your body want to move, and boy, does it make you, you know, want to tap your foot, and you definitely feel it. And I don't know if that was, I mean, I don't know why you chose to choose that title, but I got to tell you, it was, you couldn't have picked a better title.
Well, thank you, Monica. And I really, again, I have to defer and say thank you to all of my dear friends who worked on it. I mean, people like Jeff Lorber and Philippe Stace and, you know, Nate Phillips, mm-hmm. and Randy Jacobs. And, you know, I mean, all these guys really cared about what they were doing. I mean, Philippe, you know, came over and, you know, I'd play him some tracks that he wasn't going to be working on. He'd say, Rick, you should really have me play keyboards on this. And because I was playing keyboards, and, you know, I can play keyboards, but I'm not a piano player.
Right.
And he said, he really took me, he said, believe me, you should have me redo this. And I said, well, I like what I played here and here. He said, well, let me do that, but let me just do it my way and add my personality to it. And I can't tell you how grateful I am. Again and again, there were people who stepped in and really just took ownership of the record, and so I couldn't have done it without them.
Well, I Can You Feel It to me when I hear it, and I'm sure you've heard these words to describe this album before, but it's a combination of funkiness and soulfulness and just a little bit of sexiness is what I get from the project. And I'm sure you've heard that it's funky and soulful, for sure.
Well, you know, I know that I don't know. I mean, I just wanted to have songs that said something or took people somewhere.
Oh.
And I think what you're describing to me is that objective has been achieved. So,
amen. Amen.
I feel good.
Rick, that is you're so on, and you're so right about that. And you'll see why in just a second when I'm talking about one of your songs. But the title song, which is also the first track of the album, it's so funky that it reminds me of, you know, the big band or the big horn sounds of Maceo Parker. It kind of just took me you know, it took me to that place of just the horns just were pure funkiness. And it just, I was like, okay, all right, Rick, mission accomplished already. Title track.
But, I wanted to have that romping party sound to set the record, set the mood right away. And Philippe and I wrote that song. We wanted that four on the floor thing. And yeah, I listened to some of Trombone Shorty's stuff. And, you know, I started to play Val Trombone on this record. I did a Val Trombone solo on the BWD record. But on this record, I played a lot of Val Trombone because I wanted a lot of section parts. And it was a lot. That's the other thing, I think. There's a lot of new energy coming from me because I'm playing a new instrument and I'm really having fun with it. I mean, it's not, I am not the best trombone player in the world, and I will not claim to be, you know, but I sure am having fun. So, yep.
Rick, your friend and neighbor Brian Culbertson was so nice and kind of stopped by, and he lent his keyboard sassiness to the track Back to Back. And listening to it, you can really, really feel the chemistry between the two of you. That really comes across in the song.
Well, Brian and I have worked together many times, you know, and when he first moved out to California from Chicago, he stayed at my house, and that was many years ago, and we ended up working on a track called Hollywood and Vine, and that was a big hit for me. And subsequently, I've played on tracks of his, and he's played on more tracks of mine, and particular one was written by Phil Davis and by myself. Phil sent me the track from Atlanta, and I started working on it, and I started hearing Brian on this track right from the beginning, and you know, so I asked him to play on it, and he graciously agreed to do it and did a fantastic job. And you're right, we really interacted well on it, and it was a lot of fun working with him.
But he's an amazing, amazing musician. He's just awesome, as we know. Now, I was very delighted to hear the unmistakable voice of Elliot Yameen on the tune Take Me to the River. I hadn't heard him in a while, so it was very, very, I mean, I loved him when I heard him on TV, when he, you know, when he was on TV, and I thought, this man right here is truly an old man.
He is an old soul. He's a young man with an old soul. And, I say the same thing about him. It's so uncanny that you would say that because, you know, I think he's only about 30-something years old. But he sings R&B like he's been doing it since he was 2 years old.
Yes, he does.
I mean, it's crazy.
It is crazy.
He did a great job on that song, and that was a lot of fun. Elliot came and hung out with me, and he ended up staying for dinner. He ended up staying well into the evening. We hung out, and it was really old school, man. He just hung, and he's a great guy, and you know, I look forward to doing more work with him in the future.
Well, I mean, anything that he does, I can't wait to hear it, because it, well, at first I wasn't sure who it was until I had to, you know, until I paid closer attention. I thought, of course, that incredible voice could only be him. You know, clearly, who sounds like him? Nobody.
and he does have an incredible voice, and I'm absolutely honored to have him on the record. You know, and we did a video version of that as well, of Take Me to the River. We went into the studio out here and took a live band and recorded a video with four tracks, and that's one of them that we recorded, and Elliot came in and recorded with me then too.
Oh, that would be nice to see. Now, Mallorca, I gotta tell you that when I tried to figure out, okay, which is gonna be my favorite tune on this album, let me see if I can figure out, every time I would pick one, the more I listened, the more I loved them, and I couldn't pick one. So Mallorca was actually my first one that I chose. I said, this is going to be it. This is my favorite. And because it's just simply mesmerizing and beautiful. It kind of leaves you speechless. You got to just kind of listen. You got to just be still and listen to it. It's just that beautiful, Rick.
Oh, thank you, Monica. Thank you.
What is the meaning behind it? Now, I know where Mallorca is.
Well, it's an island in the Mediterranean, mm-hmm. in Mallorca, and Christiana and I went over there. I played a jazz festival there 2 years ago, and we went over It's also the island where the tennis player, and I'm spacing out, Rafa Nadal comes from Mallorca.
Okay.
So it's a really beautiful island, and my wife and I went over there. I played the show, and we had a car we rented, and we cruised around the island, and we just pull up to these one little island town after another. The Spanish influence, just gorgeous, and the Mediterranean Sea, and we just pull up to the edge, have a glass of wine, and sit at a outdoor cafe and enjoy a coffee or have some nice food. And you know, it was an incredibly romantic, beautiful time that we had there. And so I wanted to have a song on the record that reflected that moment that we had together.
Wow. Well, I mission accomplished again, because it
thank you.
Yeah, it kind of takes you to a place. It takes you somewhere, and it just you're just spellbound almost. Lovely, lovely song. Now you're welcome. The musical exchanges between you and Dave Koz on "Get It Up and Dance" are so inviting that you know myself and listeners will find themselves, you know, if you're not tapping your feet, you're snapping your fingers. If you're not snapping your fingers, you're just bobbing your head and feeling the groove. And I thought, this is a nice cut. This is a really, really nice song.
Well, it's the first single on the record, and it's doing very well at radio. And I'm very grateful to Dave again for coming over and performing on that song. He originally came over to my house because he has an internet TV YouTube TV show that he does called Dave TV, and he wanted to interview me and walk through the backyard and talk about my handyman work and the kids and this and that. And so we did that and then had a little dinner, and I said, "Did you happen to bring your horn?" And he said, "Yes, I did." I said, "Well, would you mind playing all the songs for my new record?" So, you know, we got that on video as well, and that's part of the show, is the recording of Get Up and Dance. So anybody who wants to check that out, you can go in and check that out on Dave TV. But I put the microphone up, Dave started playing it, and it took all of about 15 minutes for him to play his parts. I had left some spaces for him in what I was doing, and of course, he and I have worked together so many times, and over the Christmas tours and summer tours, and so it was just second nature for him to figure out what to do. And again, it was another case of people coming in, and just it just kind of fell into place. There wasn't a lot of work involved. And it just happened. It happened that way.
Well, it sounds like your original intention to keep it organic and to keep it real and just live and pure is seeming to work out. You from Elliot to Brian to now Dave, it's just kind of everything has just kind of fallen into place thus far, which goes back to that organic feeling that you were going for.
I mean, of course, any record takes effort, and it takes focus, and it takes energy. But as far as running into roadblocks or difficulties or problematic songs, this record really doesn't have any of that. It's just like riding a bicycle. You know, you just get up and let it go.
Wow.
And it wasn't a bicycle riding uphill either. It was just you just go and have fun and go with it.
Well, you have another song, Rick, that I call that has the ability to transport you to a different place, and at least for me, and that one is Another Kind of Blue. It too is absolutely lovely, and I know you wrote that with Philippe, and it's pretty special. I don't know what else to tell you other than it like Mallorca has the ability to just kind of take you somewhere and kind of leave you there until it's all over.
Well, yeah, that song, Philippe came over, and you know, we had already written Can You Feel It, the title track, And I wanted to include one more song, and I mentioned Philippe. I just wanted something that was kind of like a sexy kind of undulating song.
Yes.
And this song is not that, but it Philippe basically had this song in his head,
mm-hmm.
and he started, and in the course of a few hours, we were from beginning to end, and I had recorded my trumpet part, and he had that melody in his head already. And this song really, for me, it's kind of a showcase for the flugelhorn and for my playing. And I wanted to have something on the record that was that, and it just happens to turn out to be a very emotional, soaring, beautiful melody.
Yes.
That Philippe came up with, and it just when you thought it had taken you to the highest place possible, it goes another step.
Yes, I love it. I love it. I love it. That's exactly a perfect description. That's exactly what it does. So that too was again one of my other ones where I said, "Ooh, no, this is it." No, this is my favorite. And of course, I was wrong again because I found Back to Back was also one of my chosen ones. And then Delta, which your good buddy Jeff Lorber did such a fine job. You two, it was melodically just funky. It was like a melodic funky dance between the two of you.
That song is so funky. I just love that song. I love, love, love that song. And just the horn parts are silly, funky, and it's just got that down-home. Delta is the perfect title. Jeff Lorber titled it. And after I added all those trombone parts and those, you know, gospel-y type,
mm-hmm.
you know, changes that, you know, all I needed to do was put the horn parts over it, and it came to life. And, you know, I can't thank Jeff enough for contributing that song and his playing to the record.
We gotta love Jeff. Jeff is phenomenal.
He's amazing.
Now, Silk again was another one of those songs. I said, "Oh no, that's it." I told you had me stumped at every turn. I was like, "Oh no, that's the one." So Silk.
Yeah.
I describe Silk. To me, it feels very true to what the actual fabric feels like. It's light. It's airy. It's flowing. It's all those things. I mean, once again, to me, the perfectly titled song.
Well, I wrote that song by myself. That was one of those songs where I came in after a long day and just sat in the studio and had a glass of wine and, you know, just started playing. I put the groove down. I had that groove in mind. I wanted to have something with that simple pulsating groove that kind of built and built and built.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you have to wait a long time to get to the chorus on that song, but once it hits, it's a wonderful chorus, and, you know, that song really came to life when all the players stepped in and played on it. I mean, I have to, Third Richardson played some amazing drums on
mm-hmm.
that,
mm-hmm.
And the bass part is played by Nate Kearney, and he did a wonderful job on it, and so it was a good song. But when the guys came in and added their magic to it, it became a great song, you know?
Wow. Once again, that live, that organic kind of just let it evolve thing happened. And that seems to be a consistent throughout everything you describe for me. It's kind of true to, you know, you've remained true, like I said, to your original intention. Now with the Up-Tempo Radar, I can tell you, when I heard this, I said, okay, now this is taking me in a totally different direction from Silk, of course. That was also written with Lorber, of course, Lorber's stamp on it. You can tell because it's nonstop. It's just nonstop. What I call on, I just call it on. It's just on, except when you get, you know, only the bridge kind of gives just a little variation from the rest of the song, you know, just slightly,
mm-hmm.
but it.
Well, I mean, that's just classic Lorber. I mean, he sent me, when I first started working on the record, he sent me about 6 or 7 tracks that he was working on that he thought might work out for me. And of those 6 or 7, I picked the 2 that you just mentioned. And, there's one that didn't make the record, but it's a beautiful song, and I think Jeff's going to put it on his next record. The point is, Radar is one of the early contributions by Jeff, and I actually played it live on the Smooth Jazz Proves, and it went over very, very well. I mean, and it was a fun song to play live, for sure. So I knew it was going to work out well on the record, and, it's good.
It's good.
And thank you, Jeff Lorber, I can say that.
You got to thank you, Jeff Lorber. Now, when you use your trumpet and the flugelhorn on the Dream, the layering of the two are just perfectly intertwined. And I definitely love the little sprinkling of the flute at the end. I said, oh, that was just, I mean, what a perfect way to just tease us and just take us on out. after such a beautiful song, did you enjoy playing both of those on that song? Was it easy?
Yeah, I mean, that was a song that, to me, that song is reminiscent of some of the CTI recordings that I used to love listening to, like when I was listening to Freddie Hubbard or George Benson or Milt Jackson. And that's the flute in there gives it that extra touch. It's that extra color. And
yes.
I do love the sound of trumpet and flugelhorn, especially the harmon mute and flugelhorn together is very nice. And you throw the flute in there and it's got that real, it's almost like an orchestral Oliver Nelson type of a vibe. And, I just wanted to explore some new color combinations on this record as well. And that was one of the moments that I felt like I went down that road.
Yes, definitely. Now, you mentioned earlier Dr. Funkenstein, and I want you to describe for me in your own words what Dr. Funkenstein represents to you as the album's last, as you close the album out with this last song.
Well, I've spent some time playing with War and Tower of Power, and again, I listened to some Trombone Shorty at the beginning of doing this, and there was another band I listened to, and I'm spacing on the name of that band right now, but Dumpster Funk was the name of the band. And so I listened to some of that, horn stuff, and I wanted that track to just be like almost like Reckless Abandon, controlled Reckless Abandon, and Sergio and Nate laid down that groove and they went away. That was one of the first tracks we worked on when the three of us got together. And
mm-hmm.
I went ahead and added all my horn parts, and I brought Brandon Fields in to play, the Barry sax and tenor sax on that, and I think Huge Groove played some tenor on that as well. And, it just blossomed, man. It became the monster that it is. I've created a monster.
Everyone is going to automatically first think, the first thing's going to come to anybody's mind when they see the name or the title is going to take them right there to Frankenstein. It's just going to automatically do it because
it's alive.
Yeah, automatically. But when you hear it, it's like, ooh, this is very much alive. I mean, this is very much alive. So once again, quite appropriately titled. Now, I see and I congratulate you on, once again, like I said, you've accomplished with this album exactly what you set out to accomplish, Rick, with all of your ideas from the being pure to the live musicians and the just, in the basement or in the garage kind of mentality. It is a phenomenal, phenomenal album. And I've heard other people talk about it, and they say the same thing. I think synonymously, I'm hearing funky. They all say it is just simply, it's a hot, funky album. So, mission accomplished.
thank you, Monica. And I hope everybody gives me a big birthday present. And when it's out on July the 8th, I hope everybody goes out and picks up a copy.
Now, when is your birthday?
July the 6th.
Oh, okay. So I think this would be the best birthday gift you could possibly get this year. What do you think?
I think it'd be great. I think it'd be great for people to go out and pick up a copy of this record, take it home, and enjoy it. And that would be a wonderful thing.
Well,
and listen, before we say goodbye, I want to talk about one thing and let people know that every year for the past 7 or 8 years, I've hosted an event in Tucson. And it's a New Year's Eve party, and it's a benefit for autism. And this year, you want to come to my website, rickbraun.com, and check out the details. And this year we've got Peter White, Richard Elliott, and from Tower of Power, Larry Braggs is going to be with us. And it's going to be a fun party. So I want to just make sure to invite everybody to come and check that out.
Wow, that is awesome. And once again, your website is what, Rick?
rickbraun.com.
Okay, and on Facebook and Twitter, you are the same, Rick, just Rick Braun?
Yes, on Twitter, I'm RickBraun9.
Okay.
So, yeah, RickBraun9. But you'll see that my picture's there and everything, so it's easy to know who I am. But
well,
and on Facebook, there's a couple of fan pages. There's one that I'm sitting there again with my orange scarf on, and I've got my trumpet over my shoulder on a smaller picture, and that's the official fan page. There's several of them out there, but that's the one that I respond to and I participate in.
Okay, Rick, well, I tell you, I am, thanks for telling me about the New Year's Eve event. I appreciate that. And I'll make sure I mention that again. I will again make sure that is noted when I write about it, and I'll let people know. And I'm gonna wish you an early birthday, happy birthday for you, and to you. And I believe that it's gonna be great with the sales and the buzz and all the excitement around the new album is gonna be just the best. So I am excited for you, Rick.
Thank you, Monica, and thank you for helping me get the word out there. I really appreciate it.
Well,
really do.
Thank you, and thank you for your time. And until the next time, or until I see you somewhere again, or until we speak again, it's been a pleasure, Rick.
Thank you, Monica, and I will talk to you soon, okay?
Great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.